Tom.
Yes, thank you, distinguished delegates. I was asked by several delegates, I think it was Peru, it was Trinidad and Tobago, and I think India, about my idea of a multilateral TA format. I first want to say that I'm in a quite comfortable situation because I'm a researcher, an applied and policy-oriented researcher, but still a researcher, so I can develop ideas without, first of all, thinking about viability and feasibility and budgetary implication of the proposal. That's quite... But I will come to this also. I think there are at least three good reasons to think about a multilateral format for technology assessment. One is that, in my view, in a globalized world, technologies, emerging technologies, will affect very different countries in the next years, in the near future, whether they are actively promoting, developing a technology, or they will be affected. This is one argument. A second argument that I tried to explain with this CRISPR-Cas example, opportunities and risks might be weighed very differently in different world regions. This CRISPR-Cas, for example, has an interesting potential to make plants more resilient to climate change and droughts and salination of soils, etc. This was not part of the thoughts of the European Court of Justice when they took the decision to regulate it heavily and to stop, to basically lower the innovation dynamics in this sector. Because in Europe, the whole situation of food security under climate change is not yet such a big issue. So I think there are different, in different world regions, there are different weighing of opportunities and risks. And the third one is that technology assessment may be very complex and then it is expensive. And this was also what the delegate from Trinidad and Tobago said. So I think developing countries have a right to know about emerging technologies and how they might affect their countries. In the intersessional of the CSTD, I talked briefly about artificial intelligence in agriculture that can have positive implications, for example, precision agriculture with sensor-equipped drones that can lower the usage of fertilizer and pesticides in smallholder farming. But it has also a risk. I know, for example, there is now under development or nearly on a commercial level automatic picking robot for high quality, for in this case sweet pepper, a very sensitive crop. The robot knows exactly by sensors, can analyze which fruit is ripe for being picked, and then it has enough sensitivity to pick a fruit in a very high quality field. Why is this relevant? I think this will be applied, this is developed in Europe, but it will be applied in the mango farms in Ecuador as well as in the pineapple farms in Guatemala. This is not that the countries themselves are developing these technologies, but the big companies will apply these technologies. And this might mean, for example, that the people that have been working in picking agricultural produce until now might be losing their jobs. And this is, by the way, very often it's women, so it has a gender dimension. So I think there are at least these three arguments: costs, different assessments of opportunities and risks, and the technologies will be affecting many parts of the world through different channels. How could it happen? I think there is one example, a possible role model for such a format, that is the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change. It's a very interesting format to mobilize global scientific inputs into the climate change issue and have a very high impact in global policy advice. So I think this is a good example. So it's not extremely, has not a very big scientific body, but it works very much with voluntary contributions from different research groups. It has a small form, a small secretariat hosted by the World Meteorological Organization here in Geneva, And I think this could be a role model for a global TA body by the United Nations. But my colleague Miltos Ladikas, he's also currently working on building up a global TA network, trying to bring in national organizations that are interested in it. But this is just what I would say. One example, I'm currently working on very much on the green hydrogen topic, and it's very hyped in the international debate. A lot of opportunities are seen in converting energy systems to green hydrogen, but it's a highly complex process. And assessing risks, opportunities and risks, and how to shape policies to make best use of this green hydrogen transition is very complex. So this is something that should be discussed internationally to empower the developing countries to make good policy decisions in this context, just as a last example. Thank you.